loss and longing, Mellos explores themes of love and loss through a range of historic, poetic, and musical expressions from 12th to 19th century Europe, Persia, Syria, and Al-Andalus, featuring the music of Isaac, Monteverdi, Handel, Ibn al-Khatib, Darwish, and more. Join Mellos on Saturday, June 13th at 7:30 p.m. at St. John the Apostle Church, 88 Patrick Street. Tickets are $30, available online at mellos-earlymusic.org or at Novel Idea.
Wouldn't it be cool if you could volunteer with Canada's oldest campus radio station? Well, sign up to volunteer with CFRC 101.9 FM today. We're always looking for new volunteers, and we offer a free training program, so no experience in radio production is necessary. You can start your own radio show or podcast, contribute to our news collective, help us sort through music sent to us by record labels and artists, help plan events, record PSAs for us, and even more. Reach out to our programming manager, Alex Fernandez, via email at programs@cfrc.ca for more information, or visit our website at cfrc.ca/volunteer and sign up today.
All of my best friends are musicians. I will see them before shows, in the morning, after the show, being a totally different person. And every time, like, people don't know that. No one really thinks about what did the artist have to go through to just get on that stage.
From the outside, the life of a musician can seem exciting, even glamorous. Performers on a stage look like they're on top of the world, and their energies inspire us. The reality of their situation is often a lot more complex. We don't see what led to that show, and what their lives look like after the lights go out. This is Kingston Live, and today we're discussing a film that explores just that. Several years back, local filmmaker Celine Klein had an idea to delve into the personal lives and mental health of local musicians. Now that vision is finally taking shape in the form of a short documentary. We're joined by Celine and her two documentary subjects to discuss mental health, musical finances, and what's really happening before and after a show. This is Kingston Live. It's John, and I am joined by three people who need no introduction in the Kingston music scene, but we will do it anyway. We have Ricky Brandt, a.k.a. Cacao.
Thank you for having me, John.
You are welcome. Thank you for being here. Emily Fennell, also known as Miss Emily.
Been a Mrs. twice over. Funny, eh? Hi.
And Celine Klein of Jamstone Productions.
Hi.
Thank you all for being here. We are here because Celine is producing a documentary about music and mental health. Do you want to tell us what it's about?
So the idea behind that actually is back from like 2019. I've always been like working around musicians, I guess, in Kingston, and my friends are musicians. I used to live with a musician, and I just started to observe a lot of like mental health things around music industry and art in general. I had the idea in 2019 to like follow some musicians in town and like see the correlation between, I guess, art and mental state. And then COVID hit, so I kind of gave up on the idea because I didn't want to make it about COVID and lockdown and musicians being sad at home, not being able to play anything. But I went back at it about like 2 years ago now. So this short documentary is like following Ricky and Emily, and it's talking about music industry struggles, their own struggles, and following you guys in... It's mostly about... Your story is more than who you are as musicians, I guess.
And some interesting stories came out of that. We won't get into the details right now, but I do want to talk about some of the themes that came up and some interesting things that came up. And Emily, with your portions, it got very personal and a bit shocking at times, I will say. And again, we won't necessarily... unpack that right now, but something that you brought up that I thought was really interesting was
this idea of wanting to advocate for certain people, which you've done for many, many years, advocating for women in music. But there was another thing that came up, and you mentioned this idea of wanting to advocate, but having not necessarily healed yet from that thing that had inspired this advocacy. Can you unpack that a bit? Tell us about that journey.
Yeah, so, you know, I really believe there's intention and there's reasons we're put in positions we are. I was not the first chosen woman for this subject matter, if I recall, and someone had pulled out. And so then I got the call from Celine and I was like, oh, this sounds really interesting. And also how useful of a topic, mental health and artistry and musicianship and trying to connect some dots, and how beneficial this could be as a documentary for people to just feel less alone. Like, let's start there. Who knows where the help could go? But I knew immediately, for me, as Celine and I chatted more about the project, I don't like to call it necessarily skeletons in the closet, but some of my, I like to keep things shiny. You know, I'm emotional and I'm real, you know, in how I speak to audiences and speak on podcasts and interviews. But I sometimes float over certain aspects of my life that have been pretty substantial pieces of my life or part of my story. When I spoke to Celine early on in this project, I thought, wow, this is really an opportunity if I can just put on my big girl pants and be a little brave and just use the word unpack, and I think it's a good word, you know, unpack some of my experiences, how it affected my art, how my art affected those experiences. I really do know that I'm not the only person that has gone through some of the things that I've gone through. And so maybe this is an opportunity for me to heal and, of course, also help other people that might need some healing.
Yeah, well, and I think I have a feeling it's going to do just that, because we get to see another side of you. And it's amazing because so many of us, myself included, have been watching you perform for many, many years. And you have a very powerful presence on stage.
Thanks.
And it was interesting to just see this other side and realize, okay, no, she's not necessarily like that all the time.
No, I mean, it's, you know, I don't have problems showing vulnerability on stage for sure, or emotion, but tackling tough subject matter and topics, I generally keep my shows light. I want people to leave feeling inspired, feeling like it was about them. It was me on the stage, but it was about them, that I was there to brighten their day and make them feel the feels and have the experience of human connection and community through art. Mm-hmm. That's the goal. And so I didn't have to carry that load, if you will, or that wasn't the main goal when we were doing interviews and talking about the subject nature of my part of this documentary.
And I wonder if when we talk about musicians and mental health, and you brought up this as well, that idea of you, both of you, you know, I've had many discussions with the two of you, and you are people that are very real and you're very honest. But at the same time, if you have a show, people have paid to be there. People mm-hmm. expect something from you. And you do reach a point where you have to just kind of put some of those things aside for that audience.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the trick to being a really good performer, you know, a better performer, I think, really takes the needs of their audience into their thought process when they're putting on their show. You know, not everybody works that way. But for me, I look at some of the successes I've had, and I think that's what it's rooted in trying to create something that my audiences want to experience, not just making it all about myself. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, who knows what kind of art I would be making. I love music, all different types, but if it was just a self-reflective type of art, I'm not sure it'd be anything close to what I do right now. Mm-hmm. So
when I had the idea to do this, it was very much also because of that. Like, I don't play music, I'm not a musician, but I've been around musicians so much, mm-hmm. and I saw the backstage so much. All of my best friends are musicians. I will see them before shows, in the morning, after the show, being a totally different person. Mm-hmm. And every time, like, people don't know that. And no. I don't know if they want to know that, because every time someone asks me, why did you make this doc, what's your message, I was always thinking, like, well, someone who's not in the art at all and has 9 to 5, Monday, Friday job, and the nice time of their week is to go to that concert they've been thinking about for 6 months on the mm-hmm. Saturday night, and they're going to see that person who's performing, and they kind of like, they love that person, they imagine them even, I think, better than they are in a way, you know, like idol thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You see someone walking on stage and in 2 seconds, like, oh my God. But no one really thinks about what did the artist have to go through to just get on that stage and what is happening before and after the show. And I think that's what I really wanted to focus more about. Like, I know you guys did not see yet my rough cut of this documentary and where I'm at right now in the process, but I actually don't show as much as you think you guys on stage, and I focus way more on anything else you have told me, because I think that's what's important in
I love that.
What I was trying to show. Like, people have seen you guys on stage, if mm-hmm. they want to see you, they'll go on YouTube and they can find footage of you guys.
No, you're right.
But it was not
right.
really my goal at all with that one. But yeah, I think what you said, like, want to look shiny and give the audience what mm-hmm. they came to see, that's part of a job, but I don't know how many people actually think about what's behind it.
It's a pretty cool education. I'm very excited to see it. I'm a little jealous, John, that you've seen it. I know it's not the final cut, but I'm...
Yes, there's some good stuff in there, and it's very moving. Yeah,
I believe in the patience of the process, though. I can't even imagine what it's like to edit footage. It's like really out of my wheelhouse in every way.
How did each of you feel when Celine first approached you about this? Was it exciting, like, I'm going to get a chance to tell my story, or was it scary because I have to tell my story?
It was a bit scary, to be honest. It was, like you said, Emily, just unpacking. There's so much to unpack of life, the before, the after, the equal high of getting up on stage to the equal lows coming off, being alone, being isolated. But it was an exciting venture to jump into, to be able to, again, just help people. If any part of our stories, of our lives, can connect to somebody else and ground them, base them in some rooted purpose and sense of their self that is positive, it was immaculate. I think that's what we should all do in our capability of human beings, as human beings, is that outreach, reach out. Mm-hmm. And it was a very exciting opportunity. And I absolutely wanted to do it because I'm pretty much an open book with my experiences. So, yeah.
Emily, any comment on that?
You
scary
know,
or exciting?
Oh, yeah. What Rick said really resonates, because I think he and I are generally pretty positive people in many ways.
Definitely.
My initial instinct was yes, because my answer generally is always yes. And then very quickly I was like, whoa. Because I only know how to be real when the right questions are asked. Then the real stuff is there, and I knew I would have to be real. I knew there was no way I could not be 100% truthful and fully forthcoming. Yeah. I felt that was the only way to approach this, and it made me scared. But like most things in my life, generally that is the sign that it is going to be so worth it.
Yeah.
And I don't think I told anybody early on, because my closest people are very protective of me. They love me so much. They're very protective. It's annoying sometimes because I do crazy stuff all the time. I do things that people are like, you can't do that. And then I do it anyways. And that is how I even have a career. I mean, this is my entire life from late childhood, I would say, or teenagehood. And so it makes my people very uncomfortable. Even the people who celebrate me in a lot of ways, who love me very dearly, it makes them very uncomfortable. And so I'm not sure I even told any of them about this, because I think they would have been like, whoa. Well,
like I said, we get into some pretty deep and dark territory.
Yeah.
What do you think their reaction's going to be when they see this?
You know, I have never had to put out a disclaimer to my closest friends and family, and I'm going to have to with this, and I know it. And that's okay. In fact, I'm going to have to do it probably in a different way on my socials, because I have some people who have followed my career for 20-plus years, and they see me as family, or they care for me. And generally speaking, a lot of them I care very deeply for as well, because I know them, whether it be through an online presence or physically from going to shows, like human to human. But I think it's going to make a lot of people who care about me very uncomfortable. Oh, no. No crying. But I, and, you know, it was very uncomfortable for me, but I feel great about what we did. And I feel great, so strongly, about what Celine's purpose is behind this. So I know it's going to be worth it, but I got to figure, I'm just thinking about it. Now we're talking about it. I'm like, oh, shoot, that time is coming where I'm going to have to send out that email and those texts and be like, just so you know. And I think there's going to be some people like my dad, like he can't watch it, you know, but that's okay. You know, we're complicated humans. Life isn't linear and it's awesome. It's all awesome.
I'm sure this will make it into the promo reel, so maybe you
can just
send them back.
Damn it, John.
Just to kind of ease them into it.
Yeah.
Let's give Emily a break for a second. Ricky, when you were here about a year ago, and we talked about this same subject, and I was very grateful that you were very open about your experiences and you shared them with us. I wanted to, I guess, kind of get an update, because when you talk about sobriety, I'm sure sobriety isn't something that you just do it and it's fixed forever. It's a process, I'm sure, and there are efforts that need to be made along the way. How have things been for you in the last several months?
Great. I mean, life is complex and it has its ups and downs. Regarding sobriety, I've been feeling great. Almost 2 years sober now from alcohol. And yeah, just feel generally good. Although I ruptured my bicep in January.
Yes.
And that kind of set me back. It's always something every year. I do something dumb to myself or, you know.
How's that healing?
Arm's doing good. Went through physio. Got my exercises.
Because I'd forgotten about it because you look okay. You seem to be moving all right.
I wasn't able to play guitar for like 3 months. And
how was that?
It was great because I was able to find a pivot point into DJing my own music. And I found a barrier as an opportunity, constraints as guidelines to surpass and be able to ultimately achieve my goals no matter what. Went on tour in March with Dupel and the crew. It's been good. Sobriety's been great. Just clear mindset and goal-oriented. Yeah, I feel really good.
Good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
That's so great. The pivot points, very interesting to me. And I think that's so cool that you did a tour with it. That's awesome.
Yeah, like, my arm was in the brace all tour while DJing.
I love it.
Yeah, I had to.
I mean, life happens.
Life finds a way.
Yeah, it does. You know? It does.
And music will do the same. The music never stops.
It never stops. No. It's the disease, I like to say.
I love it.
We have the incurable disease of music, you know? And I have many artists I talk to on a regular basis, and many of them are younger than me, when they say, oh, I don't know if I can. I'm like, yes, you can, because you have the disease. It's incurable. You can try and take a break, but good luck. Like, it'll never, it'll find you. It'll wake you in the night. It will. It's like, it's always there.
It's all encompassing. It's like your shadow.
It is your shadow, yep.
And then we draw from that shadow side to inspire our art. And,
you know,
and that's a big part of like what all this is about.
That's
a
good point.
Drawing from the unknown, from the dark, from the depths, from that which has healed you, from the outliers of the nature of what we become inspired by, lean on our people, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's interesting because I think about my own music, and I'd be curious to know this about yours, but like my earlier music is really quite dark and I'm not really dark when you talk to me, you know, and the stuff I write now is considerably lighter in some ways, not in all the ways, but some of the early stuff, even the up-tempo songs are really, really dark. And I remember doing a show once and someone went to see it, and at the end, they didn't really know my music and they were like, that was like a real downer, Emily. They were really bummed out, and it bummed me out. And it changed the way I created my art, because I thought, well, you know, I wasn't trying to be super selfish about the performance. It was more the fact that I thought people would,
resonate with it.
And it was too much.
Yeah.
It was too much. And so ever since then, I have veiled the shit out of it. I really have, which is, you know, I don't regret that.
Yeah.
But yeah, interesting you say that. I mean, how much can you fight it, really, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
You know, how it resonates with you is going to come out.
Exactly. Yeah. I very much mirror your musical lineage in that sense. A lot of my earlier stuff was a lot darker, a lot,
really? Okay.
Yeah, a lot darker, rock and roll, psychedelic kind of shit. Into Cacao now, I find I just want to uplift people.
Do you find that to be self-therapeutic too?
Absolutely. I find it's funny that you say that, because when I'll go back and I'll listen to the songs, like how I'm working on my current album, I'll look at and listen to the, a lot of the lyrics. And for what I'd write, it's like a reminder to myself, you know, to be good, to show love, show empathy, try to raise your vibration, have intention, set good intention. And yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah.
I love that so much.
You guys have been reading my mind and asking the questions I wanted to ask, which is wonderful.
Very much curious. Very much curious. Yeah.
Well, I love, and we talked about this last time you were here, about that disease of being an artist and a musician specifically. And we talk about how much we love music, but of course a disease is not necessarily a positive thing. And something that I was thinking about when I watched the rough cut of the documentary is that the artist with mental health struggles is almost like a cliche at this point, right? A lot of people sort of see the two as almost inseparable, but I don't think that we seem to feel that way. But there is a darker component to just having that heightened sensitivity to the world that's necessary to sort of reflect the world back on itself. I guess the question, if I was going to ask a question here, is art and creativity, is it a blessing or is it a curse or is it both?
It depends on what day you talk to me. But today I'm going to say it is the greatest gift. And most days I would say it is the greatest gift. Though every once in a while I wake up and I feel super shitty, and I never spend a day in bed and don't ever allow myself to do it. I work every single day. Every single day, many hours every single day I work. But some days it is through tears and through grave disappointment in myself. And it's super ugly. some days it's that. Most of the time, the quote-unquote disease is like, I believe it's a real gift. And it makes me feel joyous. But I can't predict it. I don't know if it's a hormonal thing. I don't know.
I think it's a life thing. Life is unpredictable.
Yeah. Life is unpredictable. And I'm curious. I'm sure everybody has their own version of it. Like, I know some people spend like a day in bed. Well, I would never allow myself to do that. Like, if I spent a day in bed, I don't think I would recover for weeks, in the sense that my guilt would be so huge and debilitating. Oh, it would be terrible. Yeah.
But there are days you want to.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes, there are days I want to just crawl up. And like, I'm really fortunate because I have a wonderful husband who, even though we're often in different countries, but he's also a musician, and he does not seem to have that flip-flop like mine, but he's very comforting and stuff. And actually, I've been lucky in my life. All my partners have had a level of understanding. They kind of knew what they got into with that. Mm-hmm. Because when it is afflicting me, it is like, takes me right out, as far as being a normal, or whatever normal is, what being a functioning human in a day.
I completely echo that sentiment.
Yeah.
It's a blessing and curse. Yeah. Those days where you don't want to get up and you just do it anyway. You just self-loathing, self-hatred. What am I even doing this for?
Yep.
What's music? Do people even care? There's 8 billion people on Earth. What does this matter?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You touch one person.
It's true.
It makes all that work for me. It amasses into that moment. That moment that we work for and strive for. All the underpinning of the rock and the mountain and the sediment, everything that goes into it. And then you only see the top, you see the tree, you see the beauty of it, the facade. But what's under is, keeps us kind of going and motivated. And, you know, through those bad days, even just trying to work through it, it brings that ability to move through it, to allow those feelings, those, I don't know, what it is to move through you and not just amass within you, you know.
I like that reflection, like giving it a visual.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a Beth Nielsen Chapman song, and I used to cover it many years ago, and the hook line in it is solid stone is just sand and water in a million years gone by.
I love that.
Yeah, it's nice. A really great lyric. Sticks with me. Celine, did you... I'm taking over here for a second, John.
No, go for it.
But since you've seen it, you know the answer. But now I'm going to ask Celine, did you end up doing a retrospective angle to this film?
No.
No. Because I know that was discussed.
I know.
Maybe it's its own film.
Oh, God. Yeah. I have a friend who watched everything. He was like, Jesus Christ, it was not fun to watch.
No.
Like, no, it was an idea for a bit. The whole process of his dog went up and down for the past 2 years now. Like, I feel like I just always, like, hit a problem and try to fix it, and just another one showed up, and another one, and another one, and another one, to the point that my life was not doing well, while you guys were actually going pretty good. And it's like, this is really ironic. I don't know what I'm doing with that, but I'm not doing okay at all, and they are. And, like, I was almost waiting for something bad to happen to you guys to, like, it sounds awful, but like,
no, I mean,
just like, I was feeling like so bad, and I didn't really know what to do, what to film, how to approach you guys, because my life was like I was experiencing bad mental health for the first time. So yeah, the idea came up of, should I include myself? Like, should this dog be about almost me trying to do this about them? I tried, it didn't work out. Me and a friend tried to edit me into it a couple months ago, and we very quickly realized this is not a good idea. But this footage exists.
Well, you know, it's interesting because I wonder if that footage will find its own way out.
I think the idea was not bad, but maybe the way I was trying to execute it was wrong. And that's something also that was a big challenge for me in that dog. Also, the maybe lack of team. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I tried to carry this project basically by myself the whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's been really hard. And the main person who was working with me moved to Italy for a year, so it was really hard for me to even work with him on it in a distance. Mm-hmm. And budget issues, team. I lost like 3 assistants in the first year of that doc. Mm-hmm. I was supposed to have a different female artist at first. Mm-hmm. Then, yeah, my collaborator moved to Italy. Then my depression started, and I had awful year. I don't know, all that accumulated. Mm-hmm. Like, even just a few months ago, when I was still thinking to include myself, and we tried that, and no, it's not going to work out. I forgot where my thoughts were going. I forgot what was my point. I had a point.
I feel like you just made a point.
I agree.
Yeah, I feel like you just totally made a point. And you were saying, like, the isolation aspect. I was like,
oh, yeah.
I didn't even have to look in Ricky's direction. I was thinking, oh, my God, he's totally... I'm like, yeah, there's
well,
the list.
You guys
yeah,
are yeah. using so many
there's the
words
list.
In the dog that I'm like, oh, this one is for me. Like, isolation, I'm getting that one from Ricky. When you were talking about... the guilt of not doing something for one day. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. All of my good friends know how much I work. I have another full-time job on the side. Mm-hmm. I'm working on this dog. I'm trying to run a business. I started to do some visual art for the last 6 months, whatever I'm doing. But like, everybody knows I am not a lazy person. Mm-hmm. And I always try to get up and work. And still I've had such struggles getting over all the challenges that I had with this dog. And I think I'm finally in a good place now. It's getting where I want to be, but I have that feeling of guilt like you have when I knew I could have done better, and like, I'm not living really well with that feeling.
Mm-hmm. Everyone loves listening to music, but not everyone hears the countless hours of practice behind it. And practice requires space. When you can get away from the distractions and interruptions and really focus, that's when music really comes together. We call it the Roswell Effect. Music needs space. You'll find that space at Roswell Rehearsals. Book your rehearsal space at roswellrehearsals.ca.
I think, too, the money thing, I think sometimes, like, I am financially stable. I'm in a good place financially. However, I've also lived in extreme poverty with a small child. It sucked. And I think once you have that experience in your life, and it was for a chunk of my life, I don't think it ever leaves you. And I believe my empathy and sympathy for people who struggle like that has remained, is still very much intact. And when it comes to making art and the financial setbacks of making art and trying to have a career, I don't think we realize how much it depletes us. Because, you know, you can't, art is not something you can put a price to. Bullshit. Of course you can.
I know how much
you don't
want to
know how much money I put. People are like, oh, are you so happy? The latest record's doing so well and Juno nomination, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, it cost money. Mm-hmm. I'm thrilled with it and mm-hmm. it was worth it, but it was an investment. I knew where I wanted it to go and how I wanted to get it there. And I knew kind of the way it was going to happen was to have good art and to have a ton of money behind it.
But we're not very loud about this in general. Like, no one brings up numbers. No one says, this album cost me that much.
You don't want to know my numbers. Fans, it would gross you right out.
The people who go to any shows and say, this ticket is expensive, this merch is expensive, this is expensive, I don't want to pay for this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to buy a shirt. I already drove 5 hours to come see you.
Yeah.
Like, I would like to tell you that this album cost me $50,000. And yeah. they don't realize that.
Yes, yes. I mean, I would love for real funding to come through for you for this project, because I think it is so important and I think it's going to serve a very important purpose for a lot of people.
Very impactful.
I think so. I really believe so. And I would love to see some money come through so you can generously advocate for it in its release and publicize it, because mm-hmm. if people don't know it's there, all that amazing work you put into it.
But I'm
know.
Also just re-hoping that this short can be the start of just something bigger happening after, because mm-hmm. of mm-hmm. course I gave you two chance to talk and tell your stories, mm-hmm. but there's so many other factors in the industry and the mental health in general to cover that fortunately did not impact you guys, but impacts other people. Mm-hmm. And like, there's so much to talk about.
There's so much.
So I really hope in the long term that this short can be also the start of another thing.
Maybe there's a series there or a mini series.
It's a really good series.
There's enough people to talk to and there's enough stories to tell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, this podcast. I mean, when did you start this podcast?
2019. So yeah it's been about 7 years
That's
now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you have it because people pay attention to it and listen to it, watch it. Like, you kind of never know. But generally, when things are good, people figure it out. But you still need to get it out there.
Well, it's, and not to get too far off topic, but the podcast has been a really neat journey. And when we first started, we had this sort of question of, you know, are we going to be able to sustain this, right? Because it's pretty much volunteer run.
Yeah.
Like, we have little ways that we kind of make a few bucks here and there. But the whole team basically does this because we like it and we're interested. And for me, the driving factor has just been having these conversations and meeting all these nice people. And that's been the great thing about the Kingston music scene in particular, is it's full of really nice people. We haven't had one asshole the whole time.
Love that. Great. Love to hear that.
Yes, yes. And I like these people, and we've had great conversations. And and we're just, for me personally, I'm just still interested to see where it's going.
I love that. Yeah.
It's been a good journey so far.
I think that's very comparable to like our topic, really, because I think what is the purpose of anything we do? In entertainment, in the arts, in talking about the arts, and you know, what is the purpose behind it? And I mean, I think this documentary being the main topic here, you know, I think it serves an entertainment purpose for sure, but it makes this connection between real life and the performance and or the performers. And so I think, I just think it's really special that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it truly binds us as humans, mm-hmm. I think, the coming together, the connection.
Connection, right? Connection.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah, my theme word of my life right now is community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have, that's my goal, is like when I realize that we kind of get this superpower opportunity to stand on a stage or on a platform of some sort amongst other people, and it used to be church. Used to be church, and now we don't really do the church thing. So, but people are still really interested in art and live music.
The need for connection is still there.
A need for connection is still there. And as artists, we have this opportunity to like host this community experience, essentially. And I don't know if people realize the energy that puts out is really special and really important now more than ever. You know, in a divided world in many ways, I feel like we all do a lot of good. It's just a superpower, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a community.
Well, and it's interesting that you compare it to church, because I think there's some parallels there, that a group of people for the same purpose reaching for something intangible in mm-hmm. a way.
A higher experience, so to speak.
A higher experience. Yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah. That's really interesting.
Yeah, like spirituality, you know, churches don't own spirituality.
No.
There's many ways to define it, and it is just, if you want to get basic about it, it's just something that's kind of beyond you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah. I think people find that through many different means, but live music is certainly one of them.
Yeah, I mean, it was one of the biggest talked about things during the indoor times was this need for live music. People mm-hmm. couldn't go to shows. It's like, oh, wait a second. Yeah. Y'all going to buy your tickets in advance now? Oh, you're not? Okay. Nope. Never mind. As you were. We'll see you at a show, maybe. I'll just cry myself to sleep until I know it's going to be okay.
And you guys both experienced the live stream shows at that time, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
Live streamed a ton.
How did it feel for you guys?
Disconnected.
Yeah.
It's odd. How do you perform to a camera and you're not getting that toroidal effect of energy coming in and circulating back? And yeah,
I did a few live streams, and yeah, it was weird. There was some disconnection, mm-hmm. but for me, the thing that I liked was the comments.
Yeah. Just comments. Yeah.
Just seeing, oh, they're out there. Yeah. Somebody's out there, and you're making not the same depth of connection that you would in person, but there was something happening there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I've just played a lot of shitty gigs, but I have, like, in my history mostly, but I've played a lot of shows where I felt like I had no connection to the audience at all, that I was just a human standing there doing my thing. It was like paid rehearsal, essentially, sometimes not even paid. And so I don't know if that prepared me, but I kind of feel like it did all those years later to do those live streams, and I could do it. I also knew I had this... I have this beautiful group of people who are kind of not worldwide, but in lots of different parts of Europe and the UK, as well as North America. So trying to organize a time of day that kind of worked for everybody, and then seeing how it connected them. Like, there was friendships that came out of that. Mm-hmm. People who have never met in person may never meet in person, but they keep in touch through my socials, mm-hmm. and they're from different continents. I'm like, how cool is that?
Absolutely.
You know? I actually really like the live stream thing.
Yeah, I'm on Twitch a lot, and watch DJs all throughout the world, and have gained during COVID, then was able to gain a lot of community, a lot of different following from the UK, all over Europe, some Asia, South America, and through that I was able to get some label, had a few label releases throughout COVID, streaming.
Cool.
I mean, I did a lot of streaming back then, and kind of really tried to champion the city and putting on a different live stream events. And then thusly was kind of awarded for community in the community by the community, which was really, really
nice to get a little recognition from time to time.
Is validating and just understanding that, you know, the work that we do is uptaken. It's sucked up within the roots of the system, and then it becomes something else into the foundational quality of why we're here in Kingston.
Yeah, you know? I love the city.
Yeah,
I love it so much.
It's great.
I mean, and I'm like, because I'm not from here originally, I feel like I get to brag about it, but I love it so much.
Yeah,
and just Everything you just said right there. I love it. And I love that you feel that you've been celebrated a bit, because I feel that. I feel like I've been celebrated a bit in this city, more than a bit. And it means a lot to me.
Yeah, I feel like we're champions of music in this city for sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Yes.
We're there to inspire the youth, you know. Mm-hmm. We're still doing our thing.
Yeah.
You know, and we do it to it. Like nobody else does. That's why we're lucky to have the positions we have and that we get to perform our music all over.
It's so true. People are like, you're doing a great job. I'm like, I'm still employed. I still don't have a paycheck, but yet I've still got a roof over my head. Life is good, you know?
Well, we get to throw it down on stage.
It's the best.
Watching you is something else, though, too.
My gosh. Coming from you.
You're friggin' incredible, Emily.
I can't imagine bottling up your energy for, like, 30 minutes and just put it in a backpack as my jet fuel and just be like, there's my Ricky energy. Jets and fuel.
Yeah.
Yeah, you said about inspiring youth. And you know what? As I've gotten older, I realize I'm equally as inspired by youth.
Yeah.
And like my friends, as I've gotten older, I have friends of all different ages. But like, you know, one of my youngest friends is like, I guess she's 25 now. But I met her when she was 20 and I was 40. And the woman who introduced us, also an artist, was 70. We were all, because they were friends. We like the 7-year-old was our mutual friend, you know. And she inspires the heck out of me. And so I'm like, you know, the age thing. It's really just in a different space of your own journey. But I feel like I have something to offer, and that I also am a sponge and try and, like right now, I'm like, oh yeah, spring reverb. Like, am I around for any of that? I don't know, but I'm always just trying to sop up as much of the exciting stuff that's happening around here.
We're still the kids inside of ourselves, right?
Forever.
And that's the beautiful thing about being creatives and artists, is that we get to tap into that energy all the time.
Have you guys read the Rick Rubin book about creativity?
Yes, it's really good.
It's really good. I've been listening to him, the audiobook, because it's all driving for me.
Nice.
And his take on that is really quite cool. And so many things where I was like, no one's ever said this, but that's exactly how I feel. And one of them is kind of what you just said, like that childlike quality. And he's like, preserve it. It's gold. It's like, you think about when you're a kid and you can just like play house with zero things. You know, you can imagine the whole thing and it's all happening. You're acting out an entire scene that you're making up on the spot. And like, almost all kids do that to some degree. And it's like, as artists, is it because we've actually been able to like keep some of that creative quality?
Yeah, fan the flames of the wonderment, the childhood.
The child wonderment. I still have it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wake up every day, yay, is the first word out of my mouth. Yay. I don't even choose it. It's like there are some days I have chosen it, but it started to become like a habit. And then I have friends who will just randomly text me, yay.
Yay. That's so cool.
Just give me a little reminder. Yep. Life is awesome.
Lots of great discussion here today. Lots of great insight. I'm thinking about, you two are just two of many musicians in the city. We have a lot of musicians who listen to the podcast. We know somebody out there is going through some sort of struggle, maybe similar to yours, maybe not. What advice would you give them?
Oh, man. I would say time passes. Everything is fleeting. Know that your feelings are there to alert you. If there is no present danger, you are okay. You are safe. You are loved. I love you. If you haven't heard that today, I love you. There's always availability for change, change within yourself, change that you see in others. It's not something to ever be afraid of, but yet embrace, as metamorphosis creates higher states of being, beautiful moments to be captured by the mind's eye, and hold that in your heart truly. I think, I love you.
Emily, can you top that?
That is so beautiful. Not a chance. Not a chance.
Doesn't need to be.
And you know what? I wouldn't have even come up with anything that beautiful and eloquent and sincere. But I will add in what I can, which is belief in yourself is, I think, I turned 45 this year, and I feel like my age is the greatest gift, and it's kind of not about how many years I've been on this planet. I think I've been a slow learner, to tell you the truth. But like, the more you get to know yourself, and the more you get to trust yourself and love yourself, you know, I don't know why I just didn't love myself enough for so many years. And I'm actually learning how to really love myself now. Yeah. And I think that's a really big piece of the puzzle in healing and in being a nurturer for others, is loving yourself.
Absolutely.
And what have we got coming up? Ricky, I know you've got a new album on the way.
I got a new album coming up at the end of June, June 26th. My album Elemental is coming out June 5th. I got an overtime show with Dupel called The Evolution Showcase. It's just a bunch of things coming down the pipeline. It's all a continual amalgam of happening.
Emily?
I have some stuff that is yet to be announced, but festival season's coming up. I'm working on a show right now called In the Key of Blue, which you might have heard about, the Tragically Hip show with Mervish. This is like essentially a community theater show based out of Prince Edward County, but all with the seal of approval through Starfish Entertainment, which is Blue Rodeo's group. And so it features the music of Blue Rodeo. And so I got that call. So that is one of my main jobs for June and July prep, and then we have 3 weekends of shows in Picton, the Isabel, and Kingston.
Nice.
There's going to be 3 shows and then 1 show in Peterborough. And the show is amazing. The script is incredible. I am totally honored to be a part of it. And it's a community theater show, but the talent's great, and the music, of course, is awesome. It's awesome.
And Celine, the documentary, do we know when it's going to be out? Any details?
No, I'm still...
I love it.
I was hoping to have it ready for 4 months ago at KCFF. And now I'm talking to Mark Garnes about, would it be okay? But I would like to have it out in, like, July, if possible. I would like to organize a private local community screening and everything. But I'm also talking to Mark right now because he's really hoping that I'm actually going to wait until next KCFF to have a bigger premiere. So I'm in the process right now of, I'm not sure when I'm going to put it out.
So maybe a sneak preview in the coming months, but hopefully KCFF.
You know what? I still would like to do a private screening no matter what.
Yeah. Cool.
And invite local artists, musicians, like anyone who want to see it and interested in the subject and the theme and everything. But if I want to, like, as we were talking about, touch more people and have more people seeing it, I just need to think about the strategy right now. How can I get as many people as possible to see it without killing the bank account?
Yeah, and KCFF might come with that. I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, if there's anything we can do to help promote it, please let us know.
Of course I will.
One more question for you, Celine. You've worked very hard on this. This has been in the making for a very long time. What is your greatest hope for this project?
I think my answer changes every day. like you would have asked me 2 years ago, it's basically what I was talking about earlier. I was like, oh, I'm so frustrated to like just see all those musicians out there feeling so sad, and it breaks my heart, and like, why is it so hard for all of them and the artists in general? And some of them like that close to me also in my very private circle, like, think I was just full of frustration to not see anything changing, or like, and I am a very loud person, I'm very direct, so I'm very honest, so I'm never scared to like scream out loud what I think, which I know is not everybody likes that, and it's very much of my European side.
I appreciate that.
I appreciate it too. I love it.
Yeah. But I guess, 2 years ago I was just screaming out there, why are we not talking more about this? This is bullshit. Pardon my French. And and mostly like, but I think like now I started to like include myself in the same subject because of like how I've been doing for the last year. And now I'm like, no, like I think we just need to talk about this, because the only reason personally I feel better today is because I started to talk about my issues. And some very, very good friends kind of like forced me to get out of a uncomfortable situation. And I think that was the starting point of me feeling better and seeing this whole healing process. But if I didn't say anything at the time, nothing would have changed, I think. So when you were talking about earlier, what would we advise like people out there? It's really like talk to people. If you're not feeling good, talk to people. Mm-hmm. Talk to someone. Find a person or two that you truly trust that can help you get out of there. It can be some guides and bring you all those wise advices. I don't know, just like someone you can actually rely on. And I changed the subject again. Wow, I went somewhere else.
We've gone many places. That's fine. I'm here for it. Great.
But yeah, I guess my hope of this documentary is like, I can see that not everybody will like agree with what I'm trying to show or what we're talking about. It can be hard for some people to watch. Mm-hmm. Some people don't have that empathy to hear those stories. But I think the right people who are going to watch it are going to have the right motivations. And even if they don't say it to all their families, like, I just want people to like change their way to think about artists and mental health, I guess. And I also come from a place where we don't really talk about it. I don't feel like people really talk about it in France. Maybe it's changing now. But when I talk to my family back home about my own struggles, they don't get it. When I already feel like here people are way more open to talk about it, and it's a subject that is more out there, mostly in the art. Yeah, I want people who are not in the art to get it more, I guess. Because we got it. We understand all those issues, no matter if you're an artist or not. We understand those issues. And I sometimes have a thing that I just need to touch more people. Yeah.
Well, I hope that it does. And like I said, when it's ready for release, the Kingston Live folks, we will do what we can to get the word out. Yes. This has been a great discussion. Thank you, everybody, for coming in today.
Thanks, John.
Thank you so much, awesome. John.
Yay.
I'm so proud of you. Good job.
This has been Kingston Live. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please share it, tell a friend, or subscribe on your platform of choice. For show listings, artist info, and all things Kingston music, check out kingstonlive.ca. Kingston Live was produced in Kingston by Soundwise. Hosted by John Sanfilippo. Executive producer Rob Howard. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at podcast@kingstonlive.ca.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a new cover song by Lucas Wimmer called Lifer, originally released by New Orleans supergroup Down. More locally, Lucas recorded the song at his home studio, creating a sonic departure from his previous release by exploring the heavier territory that was the foundation of his musicianship. Follow the artist at CLKW2002 on Instagram to keep up with the latest news. In the meantime, local musicians who want to be highlighted next time can complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visitkingston.music on Instagram. Don't forget to stream Lifer by Lucas Wimmer on your favorite platforms and enjoy it here with us now on CFRC 101.9 FM.
back at myself. And though it's frozen in me, I'm laughing right back at my care. I'm staring right back at myself. And though it's frozen in me, I'm laughing right back in my mouth.
The dice on Saturday nights at 11 p.m. with CFRC's Radio Roulette. Every week we get a new randomly generated playlist courtesy of the Online Digital Media Library. We let fate decide and the host must abide. So I hope you'll join me on this journey through genres, time, and taste each and every single Saturday at 11 p.m.
Hello, tis I, DJ Tangent, host of CFRC's Numbers with Wings. I have good news, at least I think it is. Jesse has given me another hour, so my show will now go from 1 p.m. till 3 p.m. on Sundays. So now you'll have 2 hours of songs, stories, tangents, and local concert news. Tune in, Sundays at 1 until 3, CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC. CA.
There's no place like home.
There really is no place like home. It's where life happens, where dreams are built, and where you land at the end of every day. But what home looks like is different for everyone. Welcome to Finding Your Way Home, Real Talk on Real Estate. I'm Sherry Doherty, and together we'll explore what finding your way home truly means, whether you're buying your first place, making a move, investing, or choosing a different path altogether. Because home isn't just a place. It's a feeling, it's a choice, and it's personal. Tune in Mondays at 10 a.m. and start finding your way home.
Featuring the latest songs from artists in Canada and from around